talk about terrorism a little bit. Fundamentalism, extremism, isms. Are there common misconceptions about terrorism and religious terrorism that people dealing in conflict resolution should be aware of?
Well, yeah. I mean, the common misconceptions about religious terrorism are pretty much an extension of the common misconceptions about secular terrorism or non-religious terrorism. I mean, an interesting thing about terrorism, a kind of a side remark, is that in a way it's always religious. If you look at the ideologies and forms of organization, practices, and so forth of the secular terrorists, beginning with Narodnaya Volya, the Russian terrorists in the 19th century, you find that in some ways they seem structurally a whole lot like religious terrorism, or vice versa. There's a great, that is to say, they often involve martyrdom. They often involve a kind of faith that if we do these violent acts, ultimately our cause will triumph. And it's not necessarily a rational faith. It's pure faith. It's a leap of faith. They often involve extreme feelings of unworthiness and dedication on the part of the martyrs. In the book that I wrote about Azev, one of the figures in the book is a Russian socialist revolutionary, member of the Socialist Revolutionary Party in the first decade of the 1900s, named Kaliyev. He was also the subject of a play by Camus. Kaliyev was the guy who decided he was going to throw himself along with his bomb under the Grand Duke Sergei's carriage and blow himself up in the Grand Duke. And his theory about that was that his death would compensate for the death of another person. These were highly moral people in the sense they didn't believe in taking a life without giving a life. They had a weird kind of theory of compensation. If we weren't so anti-Islamic, basically, and anti-terrorist, I mean, if we wanted to, you know, look at terrorism with a little more detachment, instead of seeing even the terrorists of 9/11 as monstrous, you know, beasts and just unreasoning fanatics and so forth, you might even also see there an indication of the same kind of theory of compensation. If we're going to take life, we're going to give life.
As opposed to some like laser-guided bomb that you drop from somewhere, more immoral than
As opposed to the totally impersonal. I mean, partly people do terrorism because it's the only form of violence that's available to them. They don't have the laser-guided bombs, but people keep asking, why don't they, you know, explode a dirty bomb in Tel Aviv or Washington or someplace? And I don't think the answer is because they don't have it. I think the answer is because it's not their style for lots of other reasons. But anyway, in Man's Fate by André Malraux, great book, one of the heroes or protagonists of the book is a Chinese terrorist called Chen. One of Chen's, who's a communist. He's proposing to throw himself at the limousine of Chiang Kai-shek and blow himself up along with Chiang Kai-shek. And he's taking his leave, he's saying farewell to his comrades, and they say, what do you want to tell us as you leave? And he says, multiply the martyrs. He says, an idea is only as strong as the amount of blood shed in its name. And one of his comrades says, you're making a religion of terrorism. And he says, that's right. So, I mean, there are these parallels between religious terrorism and non-religious terrorism. Anyway, but the original question was that, you know, how do people think about it? Well, they think about it. They think that terrorists are either mad or bad. You know, there's a theory that they're crazy, which had to be abandoned because of studies beginning with Walter LaCour at Columbia, and lots of studies showing terrorists are not crazy. That they represent a wide spectrum of personality type. And are they bad? Well, yes, I mean, of course. I mean, you could say anybody that takes innocent life and so forth is bad, and you want to call them a fanatic or evil. But in the way that George Bush and people in his administration and others around the world who are opposing terrorism use this kind of Augustinian concept of evil, that the terrorists are It's totally ahistorical. It's not just saying these people are bad because they took it. They shouldn't have done this. They hurt innocent people, and it's not proportional to the injury that they were done, or whatever you want to say. Make an ethical argument against it is fine. But to view it as absolute evil, as kind of some eruption from the underworld, is a way of refusing to deal with it as a historical phenomenon. The reason people refuse to deal with it as a historical phenomenon is because they don't want to implicate themselves. They don't want to take responsibility themselves as actors in history for being part of a situation that produced terrorists. Mm. And this is both, to my mind, is that's what's really crazy. It's certainly self-defeating, because if the U.S. can't recognize the role that U.S. imperialism and participation in various kind of globalistic schemes, they can't recognize the role that U.S. activities abroad, whether it's, you know, economic activities or propping up dictatorships or spying or selling arms or whatever, they can't see that they have something to do with the conditions that spawn terrorism, then we're never going to get rid of it. Mm. So that's what, in conflict resolution, it seems to me, this is really the conflict analysis part. That's what we can do and need to do. We're doing some of it already. We need to do more of it. Not to blame America. It's not a question of blaming America, but it's a question of blaming, if you want to blame, a global system in which America is a major player, which is productive of violence. But it is also, it means being willing to take the heat, being called, you know, they're going to say that we're blaming America. Well, then we'll have to take that heat. Because if we don't analyze this system, which some American interests are profiting from, as being productive of terrorism, then we're not going to be able to do anything about it.
Mm. So say we do become self-aware of our own role in generating terrorist and asymmetrical attacks.
Yeah. Well, that, by the way, before you get there, before you finish that sentence, how do you become aware?
Yeah, right.
Conflict resolution can't just be considered mediation and facilitation in the more narrow sense of, you know, you have two parties or more parties and they all sit around a table and you facilitate. In this case, conflict resolution would involve, I think, facilitating a congressional hearing on the real causes of terrorism. Or putting a multi-organizational task force together to do a report based on interviews, based on first-hand information of how the system operates that seems to be generating violence and what the alternatives are. You can't expect a couple of parties. I mean, if we could get Osama bin Laden and George Bush together to sit at the same table without having one or the other of them immediately blow up the table, just as a thought game, as a thinking game, they would not be able to begin to solve the problem. Not only because they're both so narrow-minded, but also because it takes the kind of a capacity to analyze the system that you need more people than that to do that. So how do you get that? How do you do it? That kind of analysis of the system, and have it be the sort of analysis that people who are real people in the real world would pay any attention to? I don't know. I mean, my only thing I do know. I mean, we're trying to. Some of us are interested in setting up a new kind of think tank in Washington that would be a kind of alliance of forces interested in doing that kind of analysis. Hmm. USIP would be great if they would be interested in it, but they're not. They're compromised by their, you know, dependence on government funding. There may be some congressmen and senators who would be interested in doing this sort of thing, who realize that we're kind of short of ideas on what the alternatives to the kind of imperial model are. Yeah. So this is, I think, an important new frontier for conflict resolution.
So basically we're inventing the tools right now to
deal
with terrorism.
Exactly right.